This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. The refugee crisis is still a huge problem. It affects the developing world as people leave war-torn or famine-stricken countries and resettle in refugee camps, often in other developing nations. And it also affects countries like the United States or Western European nations as refugees seek to build new lives in places with economic opportunities.
But those economic opportunities are not always accessible to refugees, sometimes because of immigration policies, but often because they have no way to validate their history or their identity. A former refugee now living in Minnesota is working to change that. Hamsi Warfa is Executive Vice President of Business Development for BankU, an app that uses the technological backbone of Bitcoin to help refugees reclaim their identity. He was in Milwaukee recently and joined us in the studio. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What does it mean to not have a verifiable identity, and how does it affect what you're able to do and become?
Yeah, as a way of context, so I was born in Somalia. First 10 years of my life I spent in Mogadishu, peaceful Mogadishu before the war. But when the war happened, my family had to flee, and we came to a refugee camp known as Dadaab Refugee Camp, a camp that was built for 70,000 people but became home for 600,000 people with facilities that was meant for 70,000 people. When my parents, who were very successful business, you know, entrepreneurs, came to Kenya, they lost who they were. So despite the fact that they had a long career, you know, successful business, they became nobodies. So we had a statistical number that we would use to collect food and water. So all the work that has been done was completely lost. And so what it meant for us is that as we moved from one camp to another, we had to repeat immunization, for example. We had to, despite the fact that some refugees have a high entrepreneurial spirit, they get services from NGOs, they repay back loans they get. So they have a record because life is about collection of activities and events. It's like starting your life all over again every time when you don't have an identity. So it has a huge implication on whether you stay in poverty or not and whether you have access to the global economy or not.
And the thing that really struck me as I was getting ready for this interview is that the average stay in a refugee camp is 17 years. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct.
That's a huge block of time that if you can't develop your own identity or collect the experiences to have that void in your life.
Yeah. I freshly remember a young person I met in the Dadaab refugee camp just last year. And he shared with me that his parents had 20 loans from, you know, the likes of like Danish Refugee Council, where they have successfully repaid back. But now many of them are being repatriated back to Somalia. So everything they have done in the camp, the education they have received, the loans they have repaid back, all of that do not become part of their record. So when they go back, when they are repatriated, it's like starting all over again. So, and then if they are resettled in the United States, in Milwaukee and Minneapolis and places like that, the first challenge that refugee experiences is that you're not even allowed to get a rental apartment because you need a history. And if you don't have a history, someone has to co-sign for you. And what happens is that resettlement agencies sometimes, you know, are able to co-sign for you to even rent. But there are instances where you might not even find anybody to do that for you. Imagine if you had came with your record where you can say, hey, look, I had 10,000 loans from Danish Refugee Council. UNHCR have given me this and I've, you know, repaid this amount of loan. I had a small shop in the camp. And guess what? I had education from so-and-so, and so I have a certificate. Yeah, it completely transforms your life. So you're able, you come with credit history as you rebuild your life and start, you know, new life in a new country, a new land.
So you mentioned loans, for example, from NGOs and other aid agencies. Have there ever been other attempts to help refugees establish these issues of identity in the past?
There hasn't been any successful attempt, you know, that has taken place yet. But because of new technology, most people know Bitcoin. But the technology that Bitcoin leverages is called blockchain. And blockchain is a decentralized distributed ledger. It empowers people to have a secure means to collect data and build a credit history without corporate control, without centralized database. Because right now, most of our data is corporate control. Even in the United States, you know, my health record sits with, you know, health clinic this, health clinic that. My education certificate is with San Diego State University, Springfield College, and so forth. Imagine a scenario where all of my data points are triangulated and I don't have to go through a centralized mechanism to get access. I own it. It's my own data. And I give permission to the networks, organizations, companies, banks that are providing services to me. And that's a huge transformative innovation that have just started, you know, because of blockchain technology.
Who then is in a position to validate that this information that you are supplying to BankU is is legitimate?
Yeah, so there's multiple data points, some that don't even belong to the individual that uses. So just quickly, you develop your identity by through selfie, taking selfie, and you can attach multiple other data points. You can also connect with existing systems. So with blockchain, there is no servers. There is, you know, it's not really even a database. It's a decentralized distributed ledger. The best example I use is, you know, the fax machine. So the first fax machine was useless because you needed a second fax machine in order for it to work. So you need to start with two fax machines, and then you start building the network that validates, you know, who you are. And just like in Facebook and LinkedIn, when you use your when you want to reset your password, they use data points that don't belong to you. For example, they will align five pictures of your friends, one of your friends, and four others that you don't know, and they say, "Pick who do you know from here to verify your identity." So the verification happens in multiple ways. One way is that if you are working with NGOs and there's literacy issues and things like that, that NGO becomes your intermediary, the validator. And our system, our platform allows us to connect with universities where you got your degree. So there is a way to request verification from institutions that provided services to you.
Well, and so again, give us a paint a picture. If this technology had been available while you were going through your own refugee experience, you and your family were, how would it have made a difference?
It would have uplifted us from poverty very quickly because life is about collection of activities and events. If we came and showed that my father had a successful livestock business and my mother had a very successful retail clothing business, that we were able to have our own small shop, we had transactions and activities happening, that would have, we would have been credit worthy. We would have been someone who is credible, you know. And it's like getting a mortgage, you know. You need your credit history in order to get a loan. For women farmers around the world, you know, some who the coffee that we enjoy here is made by women somewhere in the world. But unfortunately, she does not get credit for the work that she has done. And it has a huge implication. Where our name came from, BankU, is that we, when we saw this interesting gap in poverty, how we approach poverty, was that in the Congo, South Kivu, my co-founder and our CEO was in the in South Kivu, and he came with a woman who made $200 from her business harvest. And she came to a bank and wanted to open an account. The teller said, "You are not. I cannot bank you, number one, because you're women. And number two, it was very cost prohibitive." But the teller told my co-founder, "I can bank you because you have history." So my colleague turned around and told the women, "One day we will bank you." So that's where our name comes from. So this has a huge, you know, upliftment, empowerment, and really dignity. It provides an opportunity for someone to feel dignified. They own their own data. They have a means to connect to the global economy. They can monetize the relationships they have with family members who might live in the West, who provide remittance money and, you know, things like that. So it moves someone from being dependent to independence and someone to have an integrated set of records they can monetize. They can get tractor loan and things like that. You know, so for a woman, they have a 40% interest, for example, to get a tractor loan, as opposed to, say, men who get 10%. In part, it's because she doesn't have a way to build her credit history.
You mentioned one of the means of validation is taking a selfie. And I was surprised to learn that smartphones have proliferated as much as they have, even inside refugee camps.
Yeah. Interestingly, when I went back to the same tent that I have lived before I came to the United States, 20 years ago. And what I saw in the Dadaab refugee camp, you know, in 2016 and 2017 was that, so there is no electricity, but yet 40 to 60% cell phone usage. And I asked, how do you charge your phones? People use solar lights to charge their phones. And one interesting experience we had in Sitari camp in Jordan for Syrian refugees was that even the UNHCR and the systems did not know that the refugees created their own Facebook groups and they were selling products and services online and they were monetizing those relationships, you know. What is empowering is that, you know, the technological advancement, the cell phone penetration is there. And as we move from, you know, the Internet of Things to social media to now monetizing the relationships that you have, it's a perfect timing for a blockchain solution to uplift people from poverty. So most people, as I said, associate blockchain with Bitcoin, but we don't do mining. We decouple the mining aspect of it. And we're using the core blockchain technology in a private permission network to make sure that people are able to feel secure as they use, you know. So it's much more secure than, you know, the Gmail, the Facebooks, you know, the things that we already use.
Well, and your motto is dignity through identity.
It's, yes. Yeah, we believe that, you know, the most important thing that human being needs is dignity. And through dignity is where what we're calling economic identity or economic passport, is where someone has a global economic identity that connects them to opportunities. So we want to focus on, you know, reducing the opportunity gap.
Well, it is a powerful concept. Hamza Warfa, thank you so much for taking some time to tell us about it, and really best of luck in your work.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Mitch.
Hamza Warfa is one of the founders and the executive vice president of BankQ, a Minnesota-based company that helps refugees validate their identity. Since its founding around 5 years ago, BankQ is in use with more than 25,000 people on four continents. You can find out more information about it at wuwm.com.